Your Humanities Half Hour is brought to you by the Northern Marianas Humanities Council.
Welcome to Your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry. Well, it's CNMI Humanities Month, and what better time to focus on the Northern Marianas Humanities Council than today? It's my pleasure to welcome to studio today the Board Chairman of the Humanities Council, Mr. Robert Hunter, and also the Executive Director, Scott Russell. Gentlemen, welcome to Your Humanities Half Hour.
Thank you, Kat.
Good morning.
So for those that are not familiar, sometimes there's a little confusion about what the role of the Northern Marianas Humanities Council is. What is the Humanities Council?
The Humanities Council is a non-governmental 501c3 private corporation. We're a nonprofit. We were established in 1991, so that's 23 years ago. So I think we're probably one of the oldest 501c3s in existence in the Commonwealth. We have a long-winded mission statement that we've tried to trim down over the years, but our board seems to be attached to it. So let me read it for you.
Please do.
It's our mission to foster awareness, understanding, and appreciation of the humanities through support of educational programs that relate the humanities to the indigenous cultures and to the intellectual needs and interests of the people of the CNMI.
You know, a lot of people, when they hear mission statements, like you said, it just seems to be a long list of words. But you said that the board has gone over this. Why did they stick with that particular wordage, for example, indigenous programs? Why did they feel that was important, or other parts of the statement?
Well, studying and promoting indigenous cultures and languages has been a core priority of the council since its inception. And that was worked in many years ago. And in fact, when I started with the council 13 years ago, we had this mission statement. It was suggested from time to time that we might shorten it up a little bit, but the board has reviewed it and they've decided they would like to stick with it because they feel that it encompasses everything that the council attempts to do.
Well, a little bit later on in the show, we'll talk about some of those specific projects and programs related to Indigenous affairs and other things as well. But first of all, let's clarify, what are the humanities? I get that question a lot. And what are not the humanities, maybe, is the more important question.
You want me to take that one on?
Yeah, please do.
The humanities or the use of literature, religion, art, music, history, philosophy that help us better understand our human existence, our time here on this planet, what's happened, where we are, where we're going. They can include also archaeology, comparative religion, ethics, history, languages and linguistics, jurisprudence, philosophy, history, theory, and criticism of the arts, and aspects of social sciences, which use historical and philosophical approaches.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, it covers a broad range. We don't sponsor programs in the arts, for example, for art's sake, or sciences for science's sake. It has to be tied into describing our human experience.
So that kind of falls into, I don't know if it's your slogan, you have a logo with a canoe on it, and I guess the latest or the new slogan for the council is Navigating the Human Experience, which is a great way to tie in all these things Rob has mentioned into what we experience here in the Northern Marianas as traditional navigators, right?
Yes.
So basically, I had always thought definitely science was not part of the humanities. Art was, but what you're saying is those could also be considered part of all these other subtopics of the humanities if they relate to those subtopics. For example, art that tells a human experience.
Helps tell the story.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good to understand. Tell us a little bit about the organization. You have some really outstanding board members, and I'm not saying that because I do this show, but actually, yeah, I have a high caliber of board members that volunteer to support the council.
That's right, Kat, and we've been blessed over the last 23 years with having some very, very dedicated volunteer board members who have put a lot of their time and effort in intellectual currency into our programs and, you know, the oversight of, you know, of the council. And I think really that's been critical to our longevity and our ability to, you know, to offer a lot of programs to the community. As you mentioned, the board, we have a 13-member board of directors. 10 of them are elected out of the community. So when we have a board opening, you know, anybody who might be interested can submit their name, and then they're considered by the board, and then the next successful candidate is elected by majority vote of the existing board of directors. And then we have three gubernatorial appointees. So those are appointed and serve at the pleasure of the governor.
I actually got an inquiry from somebody who came forward and mentioned to me, I'm interested in serving on the board. Can you nominate yourself?
Yes,
you can.
Great.
Yeah.
In fact, that's the main method of getting on the board. You express your interest, and we will have a call for nominees when we have a board vacancy, and we invite anybody in the public who has an interest in humanities and who wants to be a part of our organization to submit their name for consideration.
Now, you've been with the council since 2001, I understand, and most people understand your vast history, especially in historic preservation here in the CNMI, 24 years of experience in the field of history and cultural preservation. Why the humanities for you, personally?
Well, you know, given the humanities disciplines that are, you know, that are addressed by the council, I thought it was a really good fit. You know, archaeology, history, you know, cultural preservation, those topics fit very well with the experience that I had in historic preservation.
Now, Rob, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. And I'd like to say that we talked about the 13-member board, but the Humanities Council has a staff of three people who really carry out all of this work that the Humanities Council does. It's unbelievable. If you look at their annual schedule of events, they do amazing stuff.
Now, Rob, you currently serve also as the executive director of the NMI Museum of History and Culture, and prior to that, many people know you as the former executive director of the Commonwealth Council for Arts and Culture. How did you get to be involved in the Humanities Council?
We've always worked closely with the agency because we have a lot of related programming, especially at the museum. A lot of the history-related programming, presentations, and likewise, my personal relationship with Scott. He's, you know, been a board member of the museum and been involved with the museum since its inception. So, yeah, there were a lot of strong ties there, and I got on board to hopefully help Scott and his staff because of that. And the very good work that they do that I very much appreciate.
I would certainly echo that. Of course, you have Yolalia Villagomez as program officer and Honora Tenorio as fiscal officer. Let's talk a little bit about some of the projects, the many projects Rob has mentioned that you guys implement. And many of these happen year after year. Some of them are, I think, new. You try new things out, but what are some of the projects the council spearheads?
Well, our oldest and one of our most successful programs that a lot of people are familiar with is the Mother Read Family Literacy Program.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to acknowledge our hardworking Mother Read Program staff, Viola De Leon Guerrero, Brian Manabat, and Beth Demapon. They do a fantastic job with that very grassroots program that reaches out to segments of the community that don't go to other types of programs that we offer. Another old program that we do on a periodic basis, it's not quite annual anymore, but it's got sort of periodic, is the Teachers History Institute that we do in conjunction with the public school system, where we bring in and utilize also local expertise in history. And this is open to teachers, classroom teachers, throughout the Commonwealth. And they are given a very extensive overview of the history of the Northern Marianas, and then they fulfill their teaching credentials. And we can also then make sure that they get the latest scholarship and information about, you know, about history. We have a, a junior high mock trial program that we've been doing for 11 years. It's been a very, very successful program. I don't know if anybody in the audience has seen it, but it's fantastic what 7th and 8th grade kids can do in the courtroom. I mean, we've got some attorneys, you know, that are 12 years old that I think are, you know, could teach our attorney general staff some pointers in the courtroom. That's been recognized by the National Endowment for the Humanities as an exemplary program.
Now, there is another organization doing mock trial for the high school level, correct?
That's correct.
The Humanities Council does junior high.
We do junior high.
Which I'm sure is just pretty much a feeder into what's
good
happening in high school.
Good preparation for the high school program. Yeah.
Stepping up the level of competition there.
It is. It is. And I understand that the high school mock trial teams from the CNMI do quite well at the national level. And I like to think that our program of kind of the minor leagues, if you will, that gets the younger kids 2 years worth of experience
prepares them
before they get to the high school level. They're already pros by the time, you know, they're freshmen in high school.
I feel sorry for their parents. They know how to make a point and stand by it.
No,
back it up with
them.
Facts.
A few other programs that we do on an annual basis is one of them is the Sengabao Poetry Competition.
Okay, very well.
We started 10, 11, 12 years ago, named after Valentine Sengabao. And we have that coming up later this month as a part of Humanities Month. We have your Humanities Half Hour radio program.
What is that, I wonder?
This wonderful woman named Catherine Perry hosts it on a weekly basis, Sundays 2 to 2:30 on Power 99. So I urge everyone to tune in.
It's really a lot of fun just listening to people's story. I like to think of it as just telling stories. Let people come in, and I love it most when they do all the talking and I just get to sit back and listen.
And, of course, we also have a community lecture series that is periodic, especially when we get humanities scholars sometimes coming in from off-island, sometimes scholars from the CNMI itself. And we set these lectures up. They cover topics that are of interest to the community. Week before last, we had linguists from University of California at Santa Cruz who are studying the Chamorro language in conjunction with language experts here in the Marianas. Mm-hmm. And they presented their most recent research findings to a fairly sizable group from the community. So this series allows us to get interesting and knowledgeable speakers in the humanities available to the public.
And the great thing is that if you can't make the lecture series, we usually, at least half the time, have those speakers here on the show. The nice thing about attending the actual lecture is you get to ask questions. So if our listeners hear of any of those coming up and you're enjoying what you're hearing on the show, we encourage you to come out to the lectures and be able to interact with the speaker themselves.
And I'd also like to give a special plug to the third Marianas History Conference, yeah, which is coming up next year in September. We established the first Marianas History Conference in 2012 with organizations from Guam. So this is this combines the scholarship covering the entire archipelago, not just the Northern Marianas, but also Guam. The first conference was held on Saipan in 2012. The second one was held on Guam in 2013. And now we're going back to every 2 years alternating between Saipan and Guam, or the CNMI and Guam. So the next one coming up will be next September. We're expecting 40 to 50 scholars presenting, and I think this is an important program that we've been able to set up. It brings together partners from the CNMI and Guam, which doesn't always happen. So we're quite happy that we're building bridges with our colleagues in Guam, and we're being able to study the history of the archipelago holistically rather than fragmented.
And you've gotten very good response from the community on that. It seems to be very well received.
Yes, the first two both have been quite well received, and we're hoping for similar results for the third conference.
Well, those are just some of the programs that the Humanities Council puts on. And the next half of the show, I want to talk a little bit about the projects. Now, the projects are things initiated by the community that the council helps fund through their grant program. Is it okay if we do that?
Yes.
All right. We'll be back after this break.
Hafa Day, this is Eulalia Villagomez of the Northern Marianas Humanities Council. Did you know that you can donate up to $5,000 to the Humanities Council through the CNMI Education Tax Credit Program? Donations from individuals and corporations qualify and can be used to offset your local wage and salary tax, BGRT, and earnings tax. Call our office at 235-4785 to see how you can support humanities programs in our community and obtain a tax credit for your donation. Thank you, and Sisus Masi.
Welcome back to your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry, and this month is CNMI Humanities Month. Joining us in the studio is the Board Chairman of the Northern Marianas Humanities Council, Mr. Robert Hunter, and also the Executive Director, Scott Russell. Let's talk a little bit about the Community Grants Program. This is an opportunity for the public to get some support from the Council. How does that work?
Kathy, we offer matching grants to groups and organizations in the community to support grassroots humanities projects, that are conceived and executed locally. And these grants are matching. They're matched one-to-one. So, for instance, if we were to give you a $500 grant, you would have to match that $500 with $500 with either cash from another source or cash and in-kind contributions.
All right, let's hear a little bit of what are the recent projects that have been funded. Give people an idea of what kind of things you support.
Yeah, we receive these community grant applications quite regularly. We review them on a quarterly basis. You can get those deadlines for submission on the website. Give you those now, but some of the more recent projects have included the Chamorro Language Conference, and Scott just mentioned a few minutes ago, a book on the sports legends of Micronesia, and Kiosku presentations, which took place, Kiosku Joten Kidzu Public Library presentations, which took place recently. We have the website that provides historical information on Pagan Island.
And I believe that's going to be launched this month.
Middle
some
part of this month.
Oral histories.
Oral histories from the Japanese period that were translated by Jessica Jordan.
Okay, huh. And we'll share the Humanities website where
Thank
people
you.
Can find that link
yes.
later on this month.
The Micronesian Youth Services Network Conference. Public lecture series that featured presentations by local presenters. We have funded a number of publications. It's kind of part of a program we call the New Authors Initiative, right?
Well, we do support publications by individuals, but we also have a special council initiative that's a council program called the Micronesian
yes.
Authors Initiative, which we didn't discuss under the council programs. That's where the council assists indigenous authors publish books relating to the humanities as a council publication.
Now, I understand there's at least one very important rule in applying for these grants. Well, number one, I guess, would be make the deadline. But then, as Rob mentioned, it's quarterly also. But also, people who are considering applying should actually come and talk to the council first before they start their work, correct?
That's very helpful, Kathy. Every once in a while we have somebody that turns in a fantastic grant application without any without any consultation. You know, they really know how to put together a grant application, and they know exactly what the humanities are, and they nail it the first time. But for most people in the community, it's helpful if they come in
get some guidance. Maybe they should also put their project together right in collaboration with recognized scholars, which is an important aspect to in the review of these applications and the selection. We want to make sure that they cover all the bases and they're planned well, and the Humanities Council staff can help steer applicants to those people, to those resources, and help prepare a better application.
So it's a good idea if you were thinking that this is something you might avail of, to come in and talk to the council before you start writing your book or doing your
research.
Especially
if it's your first time.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you mentioned, Rob, that there are three individuals on staff at the council, but actually there are a number of donors and partners that you also work with to make all these things happen. And I guess it's really an opportune time to talk about that, because some of them will be recognized at the Governor's Humanities Award later this month. Let's talk about some of these partnerships that make the council successful.
There's a great many partners in the community, individuals and companies, and private and public organizations, the library, the museum, public school system, the National Park Service, DCCA, Community and Cultural Affairs, the judiciary, universities like the University of Guam and MARC, the Micronesia Area Research Center, to name a few.
I mean,
almost every single humanities program is a collaboration between any number of people and any number of entities.
Very good. Now, tell us a little bit about the Governor's Humanities Awards that are coming up later this month.
That's an annual event that's sponsored by the council in conjunction with the Office of the Governor. It recognizes outstanding contributions to the humanities made by individuals and organizations for the most part over the past year. We have five different categories that we recognize contributions in: research and publication in the humanities, preservation of CNMI history, preservation of traditional cultural practices, outstanding humanities teacher. And we have two categories for that. One is in the classroom, and the other is outside of the classroom. And finally, the last category and the most prestigious of the awards is Lifetime Achievement in the Humanities, which recognizes an individual for contributions to the humanities over multiple decades, usually given at the end of someone's career, you know, not at the beginning. We're still accepting nominations, so if you know of an individual or an organization that's done some notable humanities project over the last year, or if you know of someone you think is deserving of a Lifetime Achievement in the Humanities Award, you can go to our website and download the nomination form and the instructions. Or if you don't have access to a computer, you can stop by the Humanities Council office at Springs Plaza in Gualoray, and we'll provide you with a nomination package. As you said, the submission deadline is October 10th, 4:30. You can submit the applications via email if that's easier for you, or you can drop them at our office. The board will then make a decision on who will be given awards, and the awards will be given out at the Governor's Humanities Awards dinner, which will be held on October 23rd.
Very good. Let's go ahead and share that website now. We've mentioned it several times. It's northernmarianashumanities.org. That's northernmarianashumanities.org. You can find out more information about all of the things that we're talking about and also contact the council. You guys have a lot going on. Where are you getting all your money from to do these things?
You want to break that down?
Well, we receive an annual grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Some people sometimes confuse us for a government organization since we get some support from the government, but We're not. We're a private organization, but we are fortunate to receive a core chunk of funding each year from the NEH. But we are also very dependent on private contributions and donations, and we have aggressively sought fundraising opportunities, over the past several years to be able to bring in additional sources of funding so that we can augment the modest amount that we get from the federal government. And we've done that through, a number of fundraising formats. Last year, we focused on lecture receptions, and that worked out quite well. And we also rely very heavily on the educational tax credit program, ETC.
Mm-hmm. We need the ETC.
It's a painless way to donate. Individuals and businesses are allowed to donate up to $5,000 a year.
Tax deductible
to the council. We're an educational institution as defined by law. And so if you believe in what the council does and support our programs, we would certainly welcome getting an educational tax credit donation from you.
Very good. Well, as we come to the end of our show, any final thoughts before we go? Rob?
I mean, keep an eye on the website and the calendar. There's the humanities has programming for everyone. I meet a lot of people in the community that aren't familiar with our programs, unbelievably, but they're really our programs are on the gamut. Programs for students, like the film festivals and poetry competitions, lecture series and research activities for adults. And yeah, take a look at the calendar on the website.
Scott.
I would just like to invite anybody who's interested in the humanities and who would like to get notifications of our upcoming programs. Please send in your email address and we'll add you to our Friends of the Humanities list, and that will guarantee that you're given notification in advance of upcoming programs.
All right, and your office again is located at the Springs Plaza building in Gwalior. You're also on Facebook, Instagram, and that website again is northernmarianashumanities.org. We've been speaking today with the Northern Marianas Humanities Council Board Chairman, Mr. Robert Hunter, and also the Executive Director, Scott Russell. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, too, Ken.
This has been your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry.
This program was supported by a We the People grant awarded to the Northern Marianas Humanities Council from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily represent those of the National Endowment for the Humanities or the Northern Marianas Humanities Council.